League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All of mine shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
Hello, welcome back, everybody, to another year of the Sunday Podcast.
I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Back in 2025 for our fifth season. You can expect more of this.
He's claiming that he was ill before the semifinal, whatever. But, you know, I just feel like at that point he was just looking for attention.
And some of this.
And you normally say no human is limited. So I can't limit myself, or I can't just say I can do.
As well as event coverage around all the major races on the UK circuit.
And if you're a fan of the pod, please give us a rating and review on your preferred podcast streaming service.
And if you want to stay up to date with all the latest news, give us a follow on Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
As always, thanks for listening. See you next time. And we hope you enjoyed the episode.
Hello and welcome back to another episode brought to you by sportsshoes.com. As always, Matt and I thought we'd chat about all the races going down at the moment. Obviously, London Diamond League coming up this weekend. And also talk about Morton Games, Monaco, and a few other races that have gone last weekend as well, as we get into prime British Champs racing season.
Here we go, buddy. I mean, it's talk about British Championship racing season. We've got some British matchups. This is probably the biggest meet of the year for, well, obviously for our Brits, but I think for other reasons as well, because there's some naughty little head-to-heads which could play into the favor of athletes come selection. The big one for me is the men's 1500. I mean, because we've got Giles, Gourley, Mills and Whiteman all in the same race. Kerr obviously is going to be in the World Championships because of that wildcard spot winning in 2023. So it's Giles, Gourley, Mills and Whiteman. Yeah, it could come down to a bit of a head-to-head because who knows what's going to happen at the British Champs.
Is that right, mate? Is that right that we're even considering that as a possibility? And by that, I mean, should this race come into it at all?
Well, it will come into it. And I think the big one for me is going to be between Mills and Giles. And possibly Gourley as well, as on the fringes. Look, I think Whiteman is going to make that team quite comfortably. He ran a 144.00 the other night, ran it. And I just think he's just getting better and better and better. And I think he is the fastest over 800 and certainly will be. That was his first 800 in 2 years. And, you know, you can see him. I think in 2022, he was a 143 man over 800, wasn't he? That's when he ran his lifetime best. And that's when he was at his best over 1500 as well. And you can see him getting back down to, you know, if he was in Monaco, or in fact, if he ran in this 800 on the weekend, he'd probably be able to squeeze out a 143. And I'm just not confident that the likes of Kerr, you know, Mills, has Giles got 143 in at the moment? And, you know, I'm not sure these guys are going to be as quick over two laps as Whiteman. And if Whiteman's there over two laps, he's definitely there over 3¾ laps. So I'm starting to think that Whiteman, the way, again, coming off the back of Pre as well, and the way his season's hardly got going, but he's already starting to shape up really well. Starting to think he is going to be my lock for making that team, no questions asked, or at least getting in the top three. And then I think it will come down to the others. So it's going to come down to Gourley, Giles and Mills. And of course, only two of them are going to be able to go out of that three.
Yeah, and it's who actually races 1500 at the champs as well, because you presume... Yeah,
well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you presume Mills is going to focus on the five, so guarantee his spot by going out and winning the five. Although I guess the other argument is, does he need to race the five because he's the only one with the standard?
Yeah, that will happen. He won't have to. There's no way in hell Mills races the 5,000 at British Champs. There's zero need for him to do that. You know, he is so far ahead. Like you said, what is he, 20
seconds?
Well, Scott beat you around. I think he's the next man, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's 20 seconds ahead of our next guy. He definitely doesn't. He's proven enough. over the 5,000 for me. So he'll get involved in that 1,500. And you're probably right, actually. It probably just come down to top three on the day. We'll go.
I think it has to, right? If they're all in the race, it has to come down to that. I mean, I don't think I'm saying this obviously 10 days out from British Champs, right? I don't think we're at the stage where we were maybe 4-5 years ago, perhaps, where we were a bit worried about British Champs kind of selections. I don't think on the whole, anyway, this is not to say there's no kind of extreme cases, but I don't think on the whole, the selections have been that bad over the past few years. I can't think of any off the top of my head anyway, that have been like outrageous. So
no, and I think that's because, I mean, the men's 1500 is a funny one. You remember a few years ago, we had guys like West running 334. We had people like Copeland running 334, Stonia running 332. We had Hayward. We had a lot more guys on the fringes. And actually, I feel like that gap, they're gone now. You know, and then we've just got a load of guys running 335, just 336, 337. We don't seem to have that real, those guys queuing up, knocking on the door, who could potentially cause problems at British Champs. I mean, you do look at Gawley, Giles, Kerr and Mills, and you just think, and Whiteman, of course, these guys are just head and shoulders and above the rest. And I think part of that is because they're getting in these Diamond League races, which are exceptionally fast. So of course, and the others are battling out on world tour meets where there's 20 in a race, and you know, it slows on the third lap. I did a McCluckey, by the way, did a 1500. I was commentating on him the other day, 335 off the back of his 736 out in Ireland. He won that, so he's 2 for 2, and he looked very impressive. And that 335, he took it on with 700 to go. And the problem is, though, he's never going to get into a 330 race where it rolls along and he can just get on the rail and get dragged to possibly a 333. And so it kind of, on paper, it certainly looks like we don't have those guys knocking on the door, which is, makes life a little bit more straightforward coming to championships.
Yeah.
For the big guns.
Yeah, absolutely. We just expecting Kerr to do the 800. Has that been officially locked on again?
I don't know. I think he will do the 800. Less, you know, because he did do those Grand Slams early season, and I feel like he's probably confident, but he might want to sort of just test his championship sort of tactics again, you know. Yeah. And I think that's something that he has done well in the past. He hasn't shied away from British Champs. But yeah, are we going to see him in the 800 again? Possibly.
I think the only thing for me, I think, is actually, if we're like, well, Mills is going to run the 15 because there's no need to run the 5. Giles is clearly a 15 guy these days. Obviously, Gawley's always been a 15 guy. Wyman's pretty much always done the 15 at British Champs. Can we actually get them all in a race at British Champs this year, you know? Because I think that's something we haven't had. So as strong as our 1500 meter running has been in this country, we have not had a British Champs where everyone has been on the start line in a good few years. And I think that would make for a really exciting race.
Mm. Yeah, I can't quite remember the time frame last year, but the only thing I would say for someone like Kerr is the 1500 and all of them, the 1500 is is 6 weeks prior to the World Champs. So I think you probably would, you know, if Kerr's going to the World Champs, I think he probably would want to contest the national championships and, you know, and put people like Whiteman and Gawley, put them away at national championships. You know, if you're going to go on to win Worlds, you need to be able to go on to win your champs, no matter how strong we are over 1500. And all his rivals, you know, like Goose, Hocker, etc., they're going to be going through the rounds at the American Champs. So he's got a bit more time compared to sort of Olympic year. I think there was only about 4 weeks, I think, before the Olympics got going, wasn't it? Because the trials were end of June last year and end of July. So they've got a bit more time to go and find, basically what I'm trying to say is they've got a bit more time to go find an 800 down the road. We'll see, but let's look at this lineup because, yeah, for me, it is the standout of the meet just because I think we have got a lot of British interest. We've got the likes of Fanuel Kowich in there, the 327 man this year, standout performer. We've got Cam Myers in there, who is running exceptionally well, and we've got the Portuguese man, Isaac Ndiaye, also in there, and Robert Farquhar. Other than that, I mean, it's a pretty... I mean, Nordas is in there, but he's nowhere near at his best. Ollie Hoare's in there. He's also nowhere near at his best. So it's a pretty... It's then just focuses on the Brits in the race. But I look at the field line and I'm going, who's going to take this up? And I think it is going to be on George Mills or Robert Farquhar. I mean, those guys notoriously quite like to take these races up. Is it going to be a sub 330 race? Depends if Mills is willing to sort of run at that rhythm.
I think if Mills wants to beat the other Brits, he has to. I think I think that's his only way of winning, is that he runs close to his personal best and they're not quite ready for that sort of race yet. because I think going into, and yeah, we are getting a bit ahead of ourselves talking about British champs so much, but going into that race, I don't think Mills can run quick in that one. So he needs to prove he can beat him in a quick one this weekend. And then they might be a bit more fearful of him, I guess, coming into British champs.
Yeah, this is probably a good dress rehearsal for Mills, because one of the few ways, I mean, he is never going to challenge Gourley, Kerr or Whiteman, possibly even Giles in a kick. And I think that's Mills' worry, because he could quite easily go to British champs and come fourth, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If he can't front run. And I think his only way to come in that top three at British champs is to be able to, you know, he can't go and run a 335 race or even a 333, 334 race. Can't do it at British champs. So he's going to have to go out and try and run 328, 329 at British champs. And that would be something. So this is great practice for him to do that, even though he will have wave lights and a pacer. But, and I can see him doing that. I mean, he was aggressive. When he ran his 328, he was aggressive. And he did exactly that, pretty much. Okay, he wasn't leading, but he was what, top three? Was he slotted straight into second in that race?
Yeah, I mean, Kerr reckons he's in PB shape there or thereabouts. So, yeah, Mills is going to have to be here.
Well, the thing is, I think what Mills should rely on as well is, I could see Kerr making, do you remember at pre-classic last year? Makes a long run for home from 600 out. And I think when Kerr is confident and fully firing, he is someone who wants to make the race really hard and take it on. And I could see him doing that if Mills is leading. But I don't think you're going to have anyone sort of jumping to the front within that first lap of this race, bar someone like Mills or Farken. You know, even the Kenyan lad, I think he's going to be focused on winning Coach, and so's Nadir.
Yeah, I think so, right, mate. But look, I mean, how this one's going to play out, we don't know. I mean, my money's,
I think,
on
winning time.
I think any time he lines up, you expect him to win. And I think you mentioned Grand Slam. I think the way he's raced in Grand Slam this year, I think we're seeing a Kerr that's like a lot sharper than he normally would be at this like stage in the season.
We are. For me, winning time, 331. I'm going to say it's between Myers and Kerr.
I think they're on quicker than that, you know. I just think they're...
Think they're on quicker than 331, fair play.
Yeah, I think the game's moved on. I think this year's...
No, it has moved on, but you've got to get after it when the paces drop out. But also, you've got to get after it from the front. Like, all of the Diamond Leagues have gone through in 55 point in that first lap. And a prime example of what I'm alluding to here was pre-classic. Yeah, it was only Nagus and Habs, those guys, by the way, aren't in this race, who were willing to go sort of 55 point on that first lap. Everyone else wasn't about it. And Mills probably would have got after it if he was in that race.
That's what I mean. Mills has run 328. He's going to try and run a PB. He's not going to try and consolidate that with a 329. I think when this guy rocks up to race, he's trying to put on a show. He's trying to show how good he is.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's going to try and run 327 point, right? 327 high, because he's run low 328. So that's the next one, right? I think he has that attitude of, okay, well, what's the next one? And so he's going to try and run a high 327s or even a low 327s, right? But because he does that, none of these Brits let him go, because ahead of British champs, they can't afford to then be saying, okay, well, I'm just going to let a guy go who tries to do that. So that means you then have Kerr, Gourley, Giles, Whiteman trying to get on that pace or getting on that pace. And then the whole field pretty much is running quick. And that's why I think they run quicker than 331.
Yeah, I think 331 might win it. In previous years, Jakob has done the London Diamond League and dragged him around. So they need someone like a Habs or someone like that. We'll see. Hope I'm proven wrong. It could be much faster, obviously. But it's a great field on that men's side, and that, of course, will cap off the afternoon's events off at 10 to 4. Those of you who haven't seen the timetable. Just before that, Women's Mile, also another cracker. Katie Snowden, Rivet Walcott, Nolan, Erin Wallace in there. I mean, they're going to be up against it. Jess Hull and Sarah Healy. And you've got Burke Hylam as well. And Sifan Hassan. What is she going to do? Hassan. So, yeah, welcome back, Hassan.
Yeah, I mean, this could go, I think we say this with Hassan all the time, it could go one or two ways. But yeah, we shall see how Hassan gets on. I don't think it's going to be like as much of a Hassan show as we've seen in recent years, but yeah, she I'm sure she'll prove me wrong. And I think, yeah, like you say, mate, the ones really is Jess Hull, obviously flying at the moment, and the likes of Sarah Healy that could really be pushing at the front. But Hassan's like undroppable, isn't she? So who knows? Like, and unless they run like ridiculously quick, I'm like, well, you're not going to fully drop her, are they? So we shall see. I think it's a good one for the Brits. I actually think normally we're not that we're not that Jeff into Hull the mile, really, this. Are we? But I actually don't think it's bad for them racing a mile before they then go kind of head to head the week after, because it's a little bit of the pressure off.
Yeah, yeah. 2 weeks later, you know, it is Snowden, Walcott, Nolan, and Wallace who are going to have they're the ones who are going to shoot for that 1500. It's going to be between them. So there is a head-to-head there. I mean, none of them are in sort of screaming hot shape at the moment. I mean, Wallace has just been a little unlucky. Snowden ran quite subpar at the BMC for her standards on the weekend. And then obviously Walcott Nolan, who, yeah, for me, just hasn't been, you know, we haven't seen fireworks from her. So still kind of just getting her season moving along now. So, yeah, I think this is a good opportunity for them all just to really dust themselves down and get after it, and sort of probably just for them, biggest thing is gain a bit of confidence going into champs. Get one up on their rival. Muir's going to be in the 800. She ran 2-3, mate. I missed that result. 2-3 a couple of weeks ago in Oslo. In July, she ran that in Oslo, came fifth. So that 800 is going to be tough for her. I mean,
yeah, with the likes of Georgia Bell and Gemma Riki in there, you think surely she's going to be nowhere near them after that. But we don't know. Obviously, like you say, like I hadn't seen that result either. Even as you watch the race, it's very hard to know. So.
Well, obviously, we know she got injured indoors, didn't she, in the 3000? That was the only other race she's done this year. So it makes sense she's doing the 800 to sharpen up for her season. But yeah, that's straight back in the deep end for Laura Muir, to be honest. Let's see how she goes. I'm surprised she didn't opt for the mile instead of the 800. But perhaps there's a little bit of redemption there running 2-3. She wants to sort of redeem herself, prove she can run fast over two laps before. I mean, I expect she is going to do the 1500 at British Champs. But that's going to be a tricky matchup for her with Georgia Hunter-Bell. And then you've got, you know, all these other girls just queuing up on the door. Just looking at the lineup as well, Natoya Gould Toppin's in there. Nakai is actually running really well this year, the Ugandan. So she's had a bit of a resurgence after her 2019 world title. And I think Georgia Bell's going to have it her own way. She should win that. We should get, actually, looking at all these distance events, women's mile, we won't win. But men's 1500, probably get a winner out of that one. Men's 800, probably won't get a winner there, Marco Arup. But a women's 800, we should win. So we should win the men's 15 and women's 8.
It's not bad. Not bad little innings. Questions I have about Georgia Bell are like, are we going to see her race the 800 at the champs? Because every time she lines up in an 8, I think we're like, well, I think she's going to win that one. She's got a great chance of winning that one. We can't say that about her when she lines up in a 15. And that is not anything against her at all. But if you look at the world stage right now, I think we said this last month, maybe any 800 field you put her in, you're like, well, I think she's going to win that. I think she's the favourite, or she's going to come second. Whereas, I just think with Kipye gone, and then of course like Hull, and then a few other women that like you get in there on the 1500, it's just a lot more uncertain.
Mm. Yeah, I think Indoor showed that as well.
Yeah,
with Georgia Hunter-Bell. But big story is Keeley's out. Keeley's not running the London Diamond League. And yeah, I mean, how many more weeks before she calls the world champ? She'll leave it as late as possible. But interestingly, Keeley is training, unless she's just putting up like old pictures on social media and stuff. But, you know, M11 Track is showing us that Keeley's training. Keeley is showing us that she's training. Georgia Bell, Sarah Healy, like Erin Wallace, these girls will know exactly just how well Keeley is running right now. And yeah, I'm just intrigued. Is she getting put away in training? Is she just like...
But that's what I mean with Georgia Bell as well. Say Keeley's not going to do it right, or they know that... Then I'm like, well, Georgia Bell, that's a better chance of winning gold than trying to beat Kipye gone over 1500.
It's the London Diamond League field. It's a good field, but you haven't got the big hitters, Deguma and Sekadizo and stuff like that in that race.
Well, yeah, if you take Georgia Bell out of it, you're like, well, that's quite an easy race for Keeley to win.
Yeah, 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 literally. I mean, yeah, yeah. Like I said, you've got Nakai in there and you've got Maloney, but you can win this race in 157, or Keeley could win this race in 157 low.
100%.
And is she not in that shape? And if she's not in that shape, I mean, how?
I think that's what we've been saying, haven't we? We've been saying it's unfortunate for her that there's not a low key, like a low key race that she can open back up in. And like you say, this is as good an opportunity as an Olympic champion's going to get. And
yeah,
I think some
of these Diamond Leagues have looked this year over two laps. This is one of the softer.
Yeah,
the Diamond Leagues over 800. So. But she's not ready yet. And which means, you know, it's not too... There's obviously a load more Diamond Leagues to go, because the whole Diamond League season is going to be finished before the World Champs. So Keeley has got a lot of opportunities to open. But the closer you get to the Champs, I suspect the bigger, you're going to get a lot more athletes preparing. I mean,
unless you just take she does the 800 at British Champs, right, and uses the heat as her opener.
Someone else who we haven't seen this year, mate, is Phoebe Gill. Mm. You know, she obviously had a few stress fractures during the winter period. I'm getting a bit worried about that. Will she even run this year? When's she going to open her season? So two of our best 800 runners in Hodgkinson and Gill haven't opened yet, and they could have a four-week season and still perform at the Worlds. That's what Worlds in September will do. So all intriguing stuff. But I think the longer you don't line up, the less confidence you're going to have in yourself, even an Olympic champion.
Yeah.
So we're, yeah, women's eight, just to recap then, we're going to have, obviously, yeah, Georgia Hunter-Bell, Laura Muir and Gemma Rieke will go in that one. Their biggest challenges, school topping, Kai and Maloney against them. So all sort of 158 performers this year. Women's 5K is a stacked field, huge entries in that one as well. So 20, just over 20 of them. But Megan Keith, by the way, getting back to her best, 8:38 during the week, over 3,000. And yeah, for me, that was a great result for her. I mean, PB for her, and showing that she's got some good speed over the 3K. And I think she's going to be out of challenge in that sort of shape. She should be out of challenge her lifetime best of 14:43 over 5,000.
Yeah, of course. And then other Brits joining her, obviously Innes Fitzgerald again, ran well over 3K a few weeks ago now. Callie Thackeray in there as well. Alex Millard back from the US, and Hannah Nuttall as well. So all the major players really in that kind of British Champs 5K, you'd probably say. Obviously Megan Keith, Hannah Nuttall probably leading the charge there. And look, they're up against some tough competition from the rest of the world. You've got Bata Coletti in there, Tanaka's in there from Japan. You got a whole host of East African talent as well from Ethiopia and Kenya.
What's good though is, unlike the Diamond Leagues we've seen, this one won't be paced at 14 minutes because there's no Chebet in there, thankfully, or Segai. So you look at like even someone like Medina Issa, who has been sort of the second or third rated athlete this year over 5,000, you know, 14:16, her lifetime best. You know, someone like her and even Bata Coletti, like they're probably just going to want this paced at, I don't know for sure, but they're going to want this paced at 14:20. Coletti ran 14:23, didn't she, at the Diamond Leagues. If it sets off at that, at least, and I think because it's London, you know, we hope that there'll be wave lights, perhaps even another pacer for the British women, and basically for the people who want to break 14:50, which is the world standard. You're going to have a bunch of Australians close to that mark as well. Sort of like Rose Davies, Georgia Griffith, those people. That Japanese athlete, you were saying, Tanaka, mates. But yeah, it's a big opportunity for Millard, Nuttall, Keith, I think, just to run another, although she did run 14:43 last year, she just wants to get back to her best and show that she could PB or be close to her PB over the five. Mm-hmm. If she goes into the Worlds healthy, that'll be exciting for us because I think she's going to get picked for that 10K. And Callie Thackeray as well. I mean, what can she do? She's having a crazy summer. Can she break 15? Time will tell. But it's going to be tough because the Ethiopians, they'll just all go with the early pace. And if that is around about 14:15, 14:20, then you look at it and you're like, there'll be four Brits, maybe a couple of Australians, and they'll just have to run on their own. And so I think they've got to help each other out if they're to get 14:50. You know, once they hit,
I think they all will be shooting for that, a similar mark. You know, that is the thing. They're not going to be.
But what sometimes happens is, let's say you're the Brit at the front of this chase pack. Let's say you're Innes Fitzgerald or Megan Keith, for example. But they are all, like, you look at Keith, Thackeray and Fitzgerald, you're like, yeah, they just love to get after it.
That's it. And then Hannah Nuttall's just like absolutely licking her lips, right? Just sitting on those.
She'll be licking her lips, yeah. But she needs to get under the standard. She's in the consideration standard. She needs to get under the standard. So yeah, that's the women's five off 2:30. And then men's 800, man. And we've got Marco Ayrop, who ran a strange race in Monaco, didn't he? But, you know, I think that was his first race in about 4 or 5 weeks since those Grand Slams. I kind of rated his run. I was like, to do 142 in that manner and get past all that traffic. Monaco was a funny 800, wasn't it? I think it was just a case of there were just too many good guys in the same race. They had to go super aggressive, but to string things out, of course. But I mean, Max Bergen got clipped. There were lots of pushing and shoving. You know, they're running 23 point through that opening 200 and they're jostling for position, you know, when they're breaking on the far side. And it's just, yeah, it was just too many fast guys in that one for them to run quick. I think the world record will come. It could come in a race like this because someone like Ayrop can drift himself to the front of this race. And Wanyonyi, by the way, those two can drift themselves to the front quite comfortably. And then, you know, I think the rest of them will file in as well. Your Brazers, who is obviously getting back to his very best, but still has only run 143 this year. So I can't imagine he's going to be wanting to go through 49 high. And then someone like Atui, he can't start all that quick, and Gabriel Tuao. So slightly less men for them to worry about. Like, I think Wanyonyi and A-Rob get this field dusted up, and it's just going to be between them two.
Yeah, and like you say, if that does happen, I think it's a good opportunity for the Brits as well to try and be the best of the rest, come past a few people that are fading from a quick pace, and also just an opportunity to get on it a bit. And I think that'll be good for the likes of Bergin and Patterson. I think obviously Bergin's come out flying, Patterson needing to get back towards his best, but I think definitely the sort of guy that can chop fair few seconds off that 146 season's best, right? Like in a race like this, expect him to be back to sub 145 for sure.
I would say that about Patterson. I think it's going to be a tricky one for him because the race will go through 49 point. And even if you're further back, 51. So I just think the lack of racing that he's had and the lack of fast, hard-hitting racing, it will be a bit of a shock for him. So he's either going to go through 50 high, 51 and be able to just hold it and key off those guys, or he's going to start to just struggle 650 into that race. You know, coming around that top bend for the final time, he's just going to get caught out a little bit because it's just been a bit too hot for him at this stage in the season. I think he definitely will. He's going to be fine. He's got plenty of time, but he probably would have liked the London Diamond League to be another week or two down the line. Then I think he could be really confident going there and really, really attack it and then maybe have one more race under his belt. But it is when it is. So I expect someone like Patterson just to get on the back there and try and pick a few men off. We know he likes to close hard that last 100 anyway, when he's at his best.
Yeah. It's a very different Hussey athlete.
Hussey's got to get the standard. By the way, the standard 144.5. Hussey has around 144.66. Alex Bottle around 144.8 as well, just behind Whiteman in Italy on Sunday night. So yeah, the men's 800 is hotting up. And I talk about all those guys on the cusp. You've got that in the men's 800. And I feel like we got the big names in the 15, but we're starting to lose those guys who are all in the 333s, 334s that we used to have. Whereas, men's 800, it's going to be, again, trials could be, we could have 7-8 guys who are there or thereabouts coming on the standard.
Yeah, for sure, mate. And that pretty much wraps up our Diamond League program. A good timetable, right, for a distance running fan. You've got that men's 800 we just mentioned going off a 2:15 and then closing up with a men's 15 at 10:40. So it's pretty packed in. Not too many what we call filler events running throughout there in terms of a few sprints. So actually a decent viewing for you distance running fans listening to this one as well.
100%, mate. A few other things to wrap up. Obviously, yeah, we had BMC Rabjohns. I mean, standout performance, 145. That was nuts. Under 20. Soaring himself up the leaderboards. It's going to be a hot favourite going into those European under 20 champs over 800. It was sort of like Rabjohns is a really good 800 runner. Don't get me wrong, but it was sort of a freak performance coming out of not nowhere, but I saw him run 3:30, 3:44 BMC over 1500, sort of 10 days prior to that. Shows you how quick your season could turn. 145 at Watford was just mightily impressive.
That's just young athletes for you, though, I think, in terms of like
under 20s, isn't it? Yeah.
Their 8:15 conversion is so.
Well, I think he's going to.
In a way, like it's.
Yeah, he's going to start looking at that going, shall I commit to the 800 a little bit more? Him and Henry Jonas have a pretty cool rivalry going on as well. Jonas is another man who continues to impress. He was out in Ireland running well. He got the win there. So he's sort of just learning to sort of dominate and dictate races now as well as Jonas. So yeah, those are just a couple other guys who are just right on the cusp. I'm surprised Justin Davies could have managed to get into this 800 at the London Diamond League, to be fair. But obviously, they can only give so many lanes. I mean, the fields are stacked. They've done a great job. And obviously, it's going to be a sellout. So it's going to be pretty terrific.
He's off to under 23s, isn't he, though?
Oh, so yes. Apologies, March, right? Mate. On under 20. Yeah, of course. Under 23s. Let's talk about that because Niels Lauritz is doing the 800 and 5K double.
Yeah. And I mean, it's bold, right? Because obviously, you're like, well, he easily wins a 15. No point in doing it. But then if you don't win the 8 or the 5, you're thinking, well, oh, where's my under 23 medal? So.
I think he'll clean up the 5K. The 800 is going to be tough for him. That is going to be very interesting. Yeah, he's going to have a good battle against our boys, Jonas and Davies, and even Race. But they're going to go there and want to win and get some scalps. And then even, I mean, Barnico, by the way, his kick at the BMC, beating all of those guys. But that's what I mean. By domestically, that 1500 at the BMC, it just didn't seem, you know, we had guys in there who could run 337. They just didn't want to get after it on Saturday. It was a weird race. And someone like Barnico outkicks them all, which for me, you would be, Barnico has got a great kick, but you would be a bit concerned if you're a 1500 boy and you've been smoked up by Barnico.
I just think Barnico's
going into British Champs.
Never in a race that is like of his level, though. The 3K he ran last year. Was that London Diamond League? Not beneath him, but in races that are quite, I don't know, but we always say this with Barnico, right? His track PBs don't reflect how good this guy is.
No, but over 1500, I mean, what do you reckon? 36 at his absolute limit, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, the guy ran 340 back in 2023. You're like, how much of a better athlete is he than he was in 2023? And I don't care whether he's a 5K runner, cross country runner, whatever you want to call him, right? He's got to be a lot quicker. And yeah, whether that equates to a 337 or a 335, we don't know because he's not tested himself in that domain, right? But I think...
Well, there's question marks. Is he a better athlete this year than he was last year? I mean, last year he was a 13:19, 13:20 guy. And yeah, he did the same again. He won the BMCA race last year. I remember in it's similar time, 3:40 or something, yeah. He managed to do the same thing and kick away. So I think he's in very, very similar shape to last year, Barnico. But you would be concerned, and someone I'm a little bit concerned about at the moment is James West, because he was in that race. And, you know, someone who, the 1500 was his event a few years ago, and he's got one of the best, we've always put him down to, you know, championship racing. He's got one of the best kicks in the game, and he was someone who got it handed to him by Barnico in the last 50 there. And it was a messy race. There was lots of positional changes, etc. But Barnico probably came out of the worst position in the race. He was completely boxed in with 100 to go. Eyes himself out into 4 and comes past them all. So when you look at positioning, he was probably positioned himself the worst out of everyone. And still managed to win. So I don't know if they can even use that as an excuse. It was an interesting one. But yeah, on that under-23s, he'll go in the 5K. We've got two lads in the 10K, by the way. We should shout out Johnny Livingston and Daff Jones. Ed Bird also in the 5K. James Dargan also in the 5K. He's studying out at Stanford. Expect big things from him over the next few years. Tommy Bridger in the 15. He's having an incredible year, Bridger. I want to see him do another chase. I know him and Mark Vahl playing the patient game. Rinse to 15 this year. Ryan Martin also in the 15. And then you've got Jonas Davies in race. On the women's side, Emily Parker, who's in the shout, got a good shout of a medal. I mean, her 9:47, she'll improve on that. I think she might even go 9:30 something at Europeans. And then we've got two women in the 10, Jasmine Trott, Jasmine Woods, Mina Skatchart and Ava Lloyd in the 15. Abby Ives in the 8. So as always, you know, we do sweep the medals at under 23s. And I think a lot of these athletes on the team will be looking, well, certainly finals, possibly medals.
I think so. And that's always been the case, hasn't it? Like you said, it's almost harder to make a team sometimes than it is to make a final at the champs. And then I think, yeah, for these athletes, they'll be expecting to go there, particularly your middle distance athletes, like those 800 boys, 1500 and 800 women. You're expecting to go there and clean up.
Yeah, clean up. But yeah, do watch that. I'm going to be watching that under 23s. Kicks off on Thursday, rolls all the way till Sunday. So I'm just seeing Thursday. Just seeing what heats we can look forward to on Thursday, mate. Bear with me. Have a quick look at this timetable. Is it just all decathlon stuff, is it? Oh, no, yeah. 3K steeple, 800s. Yeah, 12:30. Yeah. Good. Just head over to European Athletics website, obviously. You know where to look, guys. And then just, I guess, quick summary, Morton Games. Couple good results there we should shout out. Phil Sessman, 13:29 PB. That was impressive from the marathon man. We know he's going to be eyeing a fast marathon, so he's in shape over the 5. George Wheeler, shout out to him. The man on the graphics, 13:37 for a PB. Where's he pulled that from, hey? Jesus.
I know, he's well, that's why he's not been doing any Instagram posts. He's been training then. So I think... Yeah.
Jesus, we'll let him off.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, well done to George. Obviously, his brother Charlie, 12th place in 3:56 over in the mile. So yeah, that's not bad mile race as well. So
George,
yeah,
the George Wheeler, by the way,
some nice results.
Yeah, George Wheeler, by the way, scalping Stewie McSwain. The Australians, poor Stewie, man, he is just struggling. Sad to see, but yeah, Wheeler taking scalps over there. think Stewie was one place behind him.
Etemeo was 11th, I think.
Or was that actually maybe that was in Amal. Maybe Charlie beat Stewie in Amal. I can't remember. One of them beat Stewie. I was like, good scout. Maybe it was in Cork City. Etemeo, 13:42. So yeah, Stewie definitely got beat by a wheeler though. Just can't remember what race. But yeah, the Mortar Games was another cracking show. Credit to those guys. Always putting on a great meet. Atmosphere looked electric there, as per. We'll have to get ourselves over there one year.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And obviously, Koskinen wins that mile in 3:51. Stadium record. Pretty good. And 13 sub-4s in the men's Mortar Mile, which is
standard.
That is a ridiculous, ridiculous standard. I guess we kind of consider the Mortar Mile as like a semi-domestic race, if you like. It's just a short trip over there. We don't like consider it the same as some of those major European meets or anything like that. But yeah, that is quite something. And I think like a nice history to that event as well. So yeah, we definitely should get over there as well. Mate, on a women's side, you've got, Carrie Hughes, in 1500, 7th place, 4:07. Shannon Flockhart, 4:09. Kind of racing out there. And then Grace Van Zagnew, 2:02 in the 800, and Hannah Seagrave, 2:04 in the 800 as well. So yeah, good to see Brits representing in Morton as always.
Yeah, and then I guess we'll be back with another episode on the weekend post the Diamond League. And we've got some exciting guests lined up for you next couple of weeks as well. So just bear with us, be patient there. Obviously, we're going into British Champs. But, you know, just to say with the qualifying marks, there is time because British Champs obviously being early August, but the window doesn't close until back end of August. So there's a couple weeks post Champs where people can go get their times, which is going to make that team selection even more interesting because it will be a bit of a delay to it unless you've got a time and you finish in those auto spots. So a lot could change. Otherwise, that's all from us this week, I think, isn't it, mate? And there is more meets this week as well. We've got loads of races on Wednesday, Thursday, and there is, you know, meets all around Europe on the weekend. It's not just about the London Diamond League, so I expect some Brits to be in those as well. I know McCluckie's competing again on Wednesday. He's getting after it. He's having a great season, by the way.
Yeah, I guess the only other thing is start penciling out your predictions for British Champs because, yeah, we will be bringing you a British Champs preview the weekend before. So what would that be? That'll be Sunday the 27th, and that will come around quick. And obviously, our yearly prediction contest will be going live hopefully that day. So pretty much a week out from British Champs. So yeah, start thinking about your teams, who you might want to pencil in. Yeah, we'll go from there. But yeah, look forward to that. We always are looking forward to see how everyone does and see how we do as well. But thanks for listening to us, and we'll catch you guys very, very soon.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.